This is ArtBeat, WMUK's weekly look at creativity in the arts in Southwest Michigan. I'm Zenta A-Stars. Caitlin Horrocks has moved from the piano keyboard to the one used by writers. The Grand Rapids author's story collection, This Is Not Your City, was a New York Times Book Review editor's choice and a Barnes & Noble Discover Great New Writers selection. Her new novel, The Vexations, published in July, has already gained critical acclaim, including a nod from Oprah. It's a historical novel about the eccentric French composer Erik Satie.
I first became familiar with his work as a kid, as a piano student. My teacher gave me a piece of his called Gymnopédie No. 3, which whether or not you think you know it or you think you've heard it, you almost certainly have. Whether that's because you played it or you purposefully seek it out on classical radio or Spotify, or just because it happened to be in the background of a commercial or a TV show or a movie. It's very beautiful. It's very evocative. There's this sort of sense of melancholy to it. I've heard it behind like breakup scenes or somebody losing a love. And as a student, I loved it. It's also not terribly technically difficult, and I was not a particularly talented pianist, so that part was also appealing. And I just wanted to play as much of his music as I could. And the more that I sought out, he had some pieces like the Gymnopédies or the Nausiennes, very beautiful solo piano work. And then a lot of things that were just much more experimental, much more playful, often in miniature pieces, just a few lines long. And a lot of things just strange to me at the time. A piece called Dried Embryos, which has like lines of dialogue from a sea cucumber. He was also really playful with performance indications. So where another composer is just going to write, you know, to play it quickly or slowly, he would write, play it like a nightingale with a toothache.
I love that.
And just this wonderful, creative, often very funny body of work. And as a piano student, I was a little bit annoyed. I had just wanted, you know, endless Gymnopédies. But certainly that planted that seed of curiosity as to who was the person who had created this really divergent range of music. And I just held on to that curiosity for a long time until I was a writer and looking for the next idea and going back to him and his work and starting the research process.
Tell us about that research process. I understand you went to France. Was that your first time there?
It wasn't. I had spent, I haven't spent particularly substantial time in France. I haven't lived there. My French is, I can read in it, I can get by in it, but certainly not fluent. But I had spent some time there. So I went back with the idea that I was going to look up old addresses, old stomping grounds. A couple of the cafes he frequented are actually still in operation, which is wonderful. You could still go to the Auberge du Clos, which shows up a lot in the book. And just experiencing different streetscapes, different buildings, both in Paris and then this really kind of grimy industrial suburb where he lived later in his life. And then also traveled to the north of France, to Normandy, which is where his family was from and where he lived for some years as a child. And that was a landscape, I think, when you're writing about Paris or when you're writing about, you know, Belle Époque Paris or your Paris at the turn of the last century or artists in Paris, I was always very aware that there's a lot of cliches that go along with that. There's a lot of kind of received images that we have of that time and those people. And I wanted to make those new and push back against that in the book throughout. And then the places that I hadn't necessarily seen on the page before, like Honfleur, his hometown, that was such a pleasure because those were spaces where it was a little bit easier to do that as a writer, to just do something that maybe the reader wouldn't have seen before.
This is ArtBeat on WMUK. I'm Zenta A-Stars.
The Vexations, that itself is another composition of his, isn't it?
It is. So it's one sheet of manuscript paper. It's a handful of lines long, and there's a handwritten note, you know, advising the player about, you know, to play this piece 840 times in succession. Mm. Player is advised to prepare themselves in a certain way. And this was just found among his papers. It hadn't ever been attempted. The way that it's written, it isn't even entirely clear that he's saying this is what you should do. It's this sort of like, well, if you should wish to attempt this. And I don't think Seti in his life would have frankly had the patience to attempt this. To do this piece 840 times takes, you know, 10 to 20 hours.
And he meant consecutively when he said that?
It would appear so, yeah.
Wow.
So people generally it's not a single pianist. Like an overnight thing. You start in the evening, you have a bunch of people rotating through to take a certain number of repetitions. And it's sort of this like festive sleepover atmosphere.
And why did you choose to do a historical novel rather than, say, a novel? Is it easier? Is it harder?
It was not easier for me. I can't speak for other writers. I found it a tremendous challenge. I found it a really rewarding challenge. The other work I had done, I was a short story writer primarily, and my short stories were set in contemporary times for the most part. That this was historical fiction, that it was fiction based on real lives. So I was having to reconcile not just daily life in the period research, but also a lot of biographical research, also a lot of works of music scholarship. I wanted to represent his music, you know, well and correctly. I hope the book is intended to be appealing both to people who maybe know his work already and to people who don't. You absolutely do not have to do like a Seti appreciation course before coming to this novel. That was never my intention. But I wanted the way that I spoke about the music to be informed and to be interesting. So there was there was a lot of layers of research, a lot of types of information to reconcile. But it was also the challenge that I wanted to take on. I spent a long time as a story writer watching other writers create maybe that failed story that was failed because it was just clearly a novel-sized idea. And then when this came along, it was this mingled joy and terror that, you know, all right, this is definitely a novel. This is a novel you're going to have to work hard to figure out how to write, but it is a novel, and I wanted to go for that.
Well, you've obviously been successful in writing this book because you've gotten a lot of critical acclaim and a lot of notice. You even got an Oprah mention. There are writers who would kill for that.
Yeah, I've been feeling very lucky.
Did that have any kind of effect or to get you attention? Or how did that come about? How does one get Oprah to read your book?
So my publisher for this book is Little Brown, and there are people there working on the book's behalf. I have a publicist who is just makes a lot of calls, sends emails, knocks on a lot of doors, and some of it pans and some of it doesn't. And this was one where she got the book to Oprah's people, at least. I don't know if the book made it all the way to Oprah, but Oprah's people read the book and included it on a list of top books for July. It was thrilling.
I'm Zinta A-Stars. You've been listening to WMUK's Artbeat, our weekly look at the creative arts. I've been speaking with Caitlin Horrocks, the author of The Vexations. She'll read with Joseph Sackstetter, the author of Makeshift, at Michigan News Agency in downtown Kalamazoo at 6 p.m. August 28th. Visit WMUK.org to hear more of our conversation. And join us every Friday at this time for Artbeat. Thanks for listening.